The driver, I feel, for a lot of women who are coming towards the perimenopause and menopause, they're driven to just say the cosmetic side of things, because sometimes the very first things that they notice is that their skin is changing, or they've got drier skin, or you start to feel like you're getting the jowls or the turkey neck, or the various other sort of cosmetic signs of aging that we see. Because there are so many signs and symptoms, I mean, from the very top of our head to our toe, every cell in our body has got hormone receptors and estrogen receptors. And so with the skin, it's our largest organ. It's a true reflection of what's going on inside, internally, how healthy we are. And so, you know, it's one of the first signs that we see.
Libna Khan Salim is a surgeon now specialising in cosmetic aesthetics. She believes beauty isn't about being wrinkle-free, but about retaining our strength, vitality and suppleness. Hear, hear. Well, this is the Liz Our Wellbeing Show, the podcast helping us all have a better second half. I'm Liz Earl, and I'm on a bit of a mission to find ways for all of us to thrive in later life by investing in our health and our well-being today. And of course, that includes how we look after our skin, how we age, particularly front of mind for me at the moment as I'm coming up to yet another biggish birthday very soon, as I leave the scary age of 60 and step into my 60s and turn 61. Well, where do you stand on cosmetic tweakments and enhancements? Do you know, it tends to elicit quite a visceral reaction one way or another. But as always, I want to have a more nuanced conversation than that, thinking about how looks and confidence are linked and really getting to the heart of the scientific evidence, especially when it comes to ageing. Well, Libna is a Yorkshire-based surgeon who trained and practiced in plastic surgery before moving into cosmetic aesthetics. Like me, she wants to rebel against, quote, anti-ageing. It is a privilege to age. Do you know, in all my years talking about ageing, even when I was connected to the beauty company, we never use the term anti-ageing. It's pro-ageing. It's ageing well. But are we going too far with tweakments, or is it just a case of being pickier about which ones we go for?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Libna, very warm welcome today. I am so thrilled that you have found the time to join us. I really have a big vested interest in looking after my own skin as I age, especially with a birthday coming up. But I'm very interested to hear about your journey, because you have specialist plastic surgery training in areas like skin cancer, surgical dermatology and burns. So why the switch to aesthetics, and how does your background as a surgeon feed into your work today?
That's a really, really good question. And I think there's a couple of pivotal things that really influenced me. Firstly, being a woman in surgery, I went through a really difficult fertility journey. Just like a lot of my colleagues, I ended up having my two daughters very much later in age. So I had Ava when I was 38 and Mabel when I was 42. Mm-hmm. So trying to navigate the world of being a full-time surgeon and then returning to work as a mum was so difficult. There's that old adage, you want to work like you don't have a family, but equally you want to be a mum like you don't work.
Yes.
And for me, it was so difficult because I, after having been on such a journey, I had 5 miscarriages, I had a life-threatening ectopic. And then to return to work after, you know, having successfully had my first daughter, it was such a shock in terms of missing her incredibly. Yes. You know, you can't just down tools at five and say, I can't carry on with the operation because I need to return home and pick up my daughter from nursery. Mm-hmm. So it was various things like that. And I also felt, unfortunately, I feel like this isn't bashing the NHS because I absolutely love the NHS. And I feel like a lot of the work I try and do and what I try to get out there is about future-proofing the NHS. But I very much felt like as a woman in surgery, the NHS was trying to catch up with the fact that as a surgeon, I was actually using my womb. I had to sort out my own pay. It was very difficult in terms of payroll to understand my maternity leave. So there was at every moment there was a hurdle that I had to battle. And then when I returned to work, equally, I felt like I wasn't valued as much as a member of the team because I was a mum in surgery. And I think I have hats off to a lot of my colleagues who are still in surgery because it's such a amazing job, but also so difficult to do if you are a mum.
I've heard that from other surgeons. It's really tough, and the organisational structure of it is just needs an overhaul.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It does. You know, so it was incredibly difficult. Another thing for me also was having been a patient, as in having had my miscarriages, I felt that women in particular, so the area of sort of plastic surgery that I was really keen on was breast surgery. And I always have always had an affinity in terms of doing things to help women. Mm-hmm. Naturally, even throughout medical training, there was one point maybe I thought I was going to be a gynecologist or, you know, an obstetrician, because I really love helping and serving women. And the thing that I felt, having been a patient also, was that women's needs are just not served.
You're so right.
And in a lot of the work that we were doing, in terms of plastic surgery also, is that we're just doing so much which just doesn't serve women the right way. The final pivotal thing, I think, for me in terms of making the shift was a lot of the work that I was doing, I felt that it was so not healthcare, it was sick care. So one sort of like major case for me was a young man in his 20s, morbidly obese, unfortunately, diabetes, ended up coming to A&E with a sepsis of his leg, had a leg wound, which then got grossly infected. And the last resort was amputation. Mm. So on one of my on calls, I was there amputating the leg of this poor young guy. You know, you think if somebody had intervened just a couple of steps before in terms of nutrition, how we look after ourselves, it need not have got that far. And I feel like with the NHS, this is why I talk about future-proofing the NHS, we spend an extraordinary amount on chronic diseases and chronic disease treatment. Yes. Whereas if we did a little bit more in terms of prevention. We could save millions, if not billions. Yes. And prevention for me, I think, in terms of aging as well, in terms of women, the disservice that we're done in terms of talking about anti-aging. But if we looked after our health a little bit more and thought about prevention, then I think, you know, that is the ultimate anti-aging.
And interestingly, there is a big connection, isn't there, I think, with health and well-being, with our appearance. And, you know, we can chew the fat over whether that's right for a society or not. But there is no doubt that if we feel comfortable with our appearance, that we have greater self-esteem, and that reflects in our mood, in our mental health, in our confidence, in our ability to feel capable at work, you know, all of those things. So, you know, beauty, I know, is described as the icing on the cake, but I do see it as part of healthcare. I don't know how you feel now, having gone from surgery into aesthetics.
That's so interesting for me, coming into beauty from the healthcare perspective. I truly believe that beauty and health and well-being are the same sides of the coin. Mm-hmm. And without one, you don't have the other. So when you feel good, you look good, and vice versa. You see it in people. Yes. When you're feeling good about yourself, when you've got energy, when you've got vitality, mm-hmm. you look good. And, you know, there's no denying that. So very much part of my mantra is, you know, for helping women to understand that a lot of what comes in terms of beauty is how you feel on the inside, and not just the superficial sort of cosmetic side of beauty that we sort of like get sold a lot of the time in terms of beauty and beauty products.
I agree with you. And I'd love to get into the details of the types of treatments that you provide and the science behind them, of course. But first, I really want to understand a bit more about your ethos. You know, I mentioned that you're a fellow rebel against, you know, anti-aging. What does that mean to you personally, and how does that then translate for your patients?
I really loathe the term anti-aging because it's such a misnomer. From the moment we're born, we're aging.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's such a privilege to age. Having, you know, I've had a close friend recently who has been undergoing treatment for Hodgkin's lymphoma. I've got friends who have had breast cancer, you know, various sort of like bereavements in the family. And so it's such a privilege to age. And I think, you know, this whole idea of fighting the aging process, it's just sort of ridiculous. And when you see anti-aging on products or in terms of treatments,
can't bear it.
You know, when are we ever successfully anti-age? Like, what's the limit? And the goalposts are always changing. So I find it's, you know, it's so conflicting for patients and confusing. And I think women are targeted overall because there's this fear about aging, which just comes from so many sources, as you know. I mean, like you said, we could chew the fat on where this comes from.
Yes, I mean, I feel that we're kind of increasingly being pushed into extreme camps, you know, that you've got the women who have lots of work done, either because they love the look. I have to say, I'm not a fan, but, you know, that's, you know, I always say it's kind of, to copy another slogan, you know, my body, my choice, you know, it's entirely up to you. It's a personal decision.
Yeah.
Or maybe they do it because they feel they have to. I mean, that's another conversation again. And then there's women who make a point of being completely natural, again, either because that's the look they like, or perhaps they don't want to be seen to giving in to societal pressure. Either way, others will have something to say about it. Who are the women who are coming to your practice and why?
It's so interesting what you're talking about, because I find that as well. I think society's become so polarised, particularly, I think, with social media. And
they love to divide us. This is the problem.
They do. It's so polarising, and people expect you to be in one camp or another, you know, the have-nots or the haves. And for me, what I really wanted to create with my clinic was a safe haven that women could explore a lot of the treatments and tweakments in a safe way, but to be given an educated choice, because we should all have choice. And when you do something out of full knowledge and, you know, it's your complete choice how you decide to age, then that's the best way. Whereas, you know, this whole idea of, like, you know, the polarized sort of, you know, I see it on posts sometimes when people comment, it's particularly women against women, people commenting on people's looks or appearance, or, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Whereas, like you say, it should be choice. And ultimately, as long as you come into the decision fully and it's in your best interest and it makes you feel good, then, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. I think my bugbear is that a lot of the industry is very transactional.
Right.
An example being, so I listened to your podcast with your daughter, and it touched me greatly, because I am a mum of two young girls.
It's a hard listen, isn't it, in places?
It's a hard listen, but so, I mean, you know, Lily articulated it so beautifully. And when she said, for example, there were moments when she would look in the mirror and see her reflection and she looked grey and she didn't feel well, often it's women like that who then are driven to cosmetic clinics because they want to do something to feel good about themselves. And when it's transactional, when somebody's saying, it's like, what's your budget? And this is what I can do for you.
Yes.
There's no nuance in understanding that actually, you know, plumping your face full of filler or having Botox or having, you know, another intervention isn't going to be in your best interest until we get to the root cause of why you're feeling the way you do. And for me, it's very much the women who come to see me. I think the way I try to portray my social media, you know, it is a shop front. I feel very socially responsible as a business owner, as a mum of two, as a woman, to try not to portray a lot of the tweakments as very trivial. So I feel a sense of responsibility.
Well, and as a doctor, you often see what goes wrong, and there is no procedure that is risk-free, even if it's a
absolutely
small marginal risk.
These are medical procedures. So I feel like I want to spend time with my patients to get to know them, build a rapport, understand what their drivers are, and then also I feel like my clinic's a bit of a ruse, because although I'm an aesthetic cosmetic clinic, I'm probably more along the lines of a preventative health clinic. So I feel like you come in for one thing,
love it,
but you leave feeling a little bit better about yourself. Because I had had a lady last week, a lovely lady who's just been feeling, she's undergoing sort of like treatment. She just started HRT, just feeling rubbish about herself. I mean, I've always feel like my clinic's an echo chamber of how women generally are made to feel, particularly women of a certain age. I'm 45, definitely feeling the symptoms and signs of perimenopause. And so this woman was just feeling, you know, rubbish about her weight. She just had a baby also. And when I told her, I mean, she was beautiful. She didn't really need anything. It was more understanding her hormones and understanding lifestyle choices.
Yes.
And she burst into tears and she said, I'm so grateful because I was so scared about having something done. And this isn't really what I wanted. But, you know, I feel so much more positive about myself and what I can do to take control. So that's really what my message is that often, you know, it's not a miracle cure at the bottom of a bottle or, you know, an injection or something that's a quick fix. So we're in a society where everything's like Amazon Prime, isn't it? It's like, we want it now. We want a result now.
If it doesn't come tomorrow, we go, well, why not? You know, I need it now. Yeah.
And often with like how we feel about ourselves, it's a long process and it takes work and it's a practice, and well-being is a practice, isn't it? So
I have just published a book on about aging, and as part of that,
amazing,
well, I I had to review a lot of photographs of myself because it's got a picture section in the middle. And, you know, I'm in my 60s.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was looking at pictures of myself in my 40s and my 50s, and there is no question that I look better now through doing lots of things, but it has taken time. It's the culmination of lots of little things. There's been no one thing, and I haven't had a facelift or, you know, done anything dramatic, but it's been lots and lots of little things over 10 to 15 years, including going through the menopause. And I'd love to talk to you actually about the effect of menopause on the skin, because one of the things I think that I definitely credit with my skin looking good is getting onto HRT and plumping up my skin cells with enough replacement estrogen that they look and behave and act in a younger way. The younger skin cells that are naturally full of estrogen.
Yeah.
And Lily, of course, you know, being having been pregnant and having her skin full of estrogen, because, you know, we know get those estrogen surges during pregnancy, which is why you get that pregnancy glow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I think that with HRT, we can kind of get that post-menopause glow, you know, through having our hormones back. And I don't know about you, but I find that I can tell by looking at a woman's face, you know, if she's of perimenopausal, menopausal age, whether or not she's actually taking HRT.
Yeah. I think that's spot on, actually. Often, I think a big part of my job is helping women to connect those dots as to what's happening with them. So often the driver, I feel, for a lot of women who are coming towards the perimenopause and menopause is that because we're only just talking about it. I mean, it's 2024, you know, we're now having conversations around menopause and perimenopause. But for a lot of women, still the dots haven't been connected as to what's going on internally and why they're feeling or looking the way they do. And so often they're driven to just say the cosmetic side of things, because sometimes the very first things that they notice is that their skin is changing, or they've got drier skin, or you start to feel like you're getting the jowls or the turkey neck, or, you know, the various other sort of cosmetic signs of aging that we see. And because of lack of education, because we're not really sort of like spoken to in the health service really about our bodies or our hormones, because there are so many signs and symptoms. I mean, from the very top of our head to our toe, every cell in our body has got hormone receptors and estrogen receptors. And so, you know, we talk about there being more than like 48 symptoms of perimenopause and menopause.
Yes.
And so women end up with either urinary tract infections, whether it's low libido, whether it's the hot flashes, whether it's brain fog. You know, one of my friends suffered from what she thought was a breakdown. So, you know, ended up going to see a psychiatrist. So there's so many signs and symptoms that we just don't recognize. And often we're going from pillar to post, we're seeing different specialists. And so sometimes for me, it is about having that woman in front of me and connecting the dots. And very often it is, you know, we are subject to our hormones as women. And it's not just the perimenopause, menopause, you know, whether it's during puberty, whether it's fertility issues and beyond, you know, the hormones are a massive thing. And so one of my biggest thing really is for women to really understand their hormone shifts and recognize what's going on. And with the skin, it's like, you know, it's our largest organ. It's a true reflection of what's going on inside internally, how healthy we are. And so, you know, it's one of the first signs that we see.
Yeah, really fascinating. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, talking to you about all this in a much more broader platform, if you like, because often a cosmetic doctor will point out all the things about your face that, you know, perhaps don't quite meet conventional beauty standards. You know, in fact, we had India Knight on the show last year, and she said just that. She said she went to have one little procedure done, but then was given a laundry list of all the things that she should probably have done, you know, which only really worked to increase insecurities. And it's interesting that you're kind of getting women really to flip that and celebrate unique qualities, perhaps rather than making them look like everyone else.
Absolutely. I think beauty is this limitless ideal and it's so individual. And I really love, there's this beautiful book by Alan Moore with the Do books. It's called Do Beauty. And he talks about reclaiming the language of beauty back to being a verb, like doing beauty. And so beauty, I feel, is like a feeling. It's a sense that we get. And because we've become so divorced from just say nature, you know, from society, from communities, beauty really should be how we feel. And that's a combination of everything to do with, you know, truly well-being, all the tenets that make us feel whole. And, you know, that beauty shouldn't just be that limited and, you know, such a reductive way, you know, in terms of commercial beauty, that it's just down to the way we look. I want my daughters to grow up feeling beautiful and not having to feel like it's just to do with what, the way they look. And so that's why I'm so passionate about this and want to do it in a different way. And yes, it doesn't make business sense in terms of upselling procedures, but I think, you know, for me, it's creating that beautiful rapport with my clients that brings them back again and again, because, you know, this is healthcare. It's about somebody's
in the broader sense,
you know, to feel healthy is to be beautiful. And it's not down to some limited view of, like, you know, how big your lips should be or how big your cheek should be. I mean, you know, and that whole upselling, like you say, I mean, I had a client who went to a different clinic. And like you said, you know, her face was grabbed and she was told that she should have this done and that done. And, you know, that's just not the approach. That is not beauty.
No. Well, stay there, Lubna. We're going to come back in a moment and talk about what sort of treatments and enhancements we might want to think about, having had that initial discussion, and which ones perhaps we might not.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I want to be transported to your treatment room right now. And you've obviously made it clear that done in the right way, you know, subtle tweaks and enhancements really can make a real difference to our sense of self. What is it about the way you carry out treatments that means that you're going to enhance what a woman's already got, you know, rather than try to change her?
Yeah. First of all, it really comes down to psychology. So understanding what the driver is for that woman to come through my door. Very often, it's taken a long time for that person to decide. They've done a lot of research, a lot of homework. They've been thinking about it for a long time. And so, you know, I really feel like their sense of trust in terms of, you know, my opinion and what they should have. For other people, it is just the sense of whether it's a skin condition like acne or rosacea or an inflammatory skin condition, or whether they're just starting to notice changes and they just want some advice as to what to do. Sometimes it's because their friends are starting to have things done or tweaks, you know, and they're like, yes. Oh, you know, my friends are having preventative things done. So do you think I should start this? So first of all, it comes down to very, very comprehensive consultation, understanding them, their lifestyle, what their drivers are, what's their motivation, and then really sort of like educating in terms of what's going on with the aging process. Because if it is down to just say it's the perimenopause or the menopause, talking through the aging process, you know, helping them to understand what is going on with the skin, whether it's somebody's got pigmentation, talking through the treatments we can do to offset that, whether it's to do with they're worried about sagging skin, educating them on the biological, the physiological processes that are going on, and then what treatments are available. And I use a stepwise ladder. So the first rung of the ladder really is lifestyle. I think like that's the basics. If you're not doing things in terms of sleeping well, managing your stress, nourishing yourself from the inside out, you know, moving your body, the very basics of sort of well-being, yes, that we take for granted, then there's just, yes, no point doing very advanced sort of like treatments and tweakments. You know, it's like having, I would say, like, it's like having, I'm based in Yorkshire and everyone's obsessed with caravans up here and caravan holidays.
Really?
Yes. I've never heard so much chat about caravans. But if you've got a rundown caravan, then you're putting on like, you know, the most beautiful curtains and luxury fittings without, yeah, sorting out the basics, then it's just no point. So sort out the well-being first. Then we talk about, mm-hmm, skincare. So the basic things you can do. Things like sun protection that everyone takes for granted, which is so important in terms of your you know, photo aging and, you know, the reasons that we end up getting lines and wrinkles and how much damage UV rays can do. So some, you know, in terms of talking about skincare, sun protection, and then moving up the ladder in terms of things. So the treatments that I really favour and the things that I think are in everyone's best interest are things that are going to work on a very sort of cellular level. So you're sort of kickstarting your body's biological responses to work how they should be. So as we're aging, particularly as women, with the insult of hormones declining, our collagen and elastin, so those building blocks, those proteins that are in our skins. So when you look at, you know, my two young daughters and they've got lovely plump skin, you know, that's the beautiful collagen and elastin.
Yes.
And as we age, they start to decline incrementally, sort of 1-2% a year. But as we hit the perimenopause and menopause, that's the fastest period of aging that women go through. So no wonder women are starting, yeah, to feel the changes that
it's dramatic.
See in their skin. It's dramatic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so firstly, it's education on that. And then talking about things that you can do to what I call collagen banking. Mm. So that's to do with your nutrition. So protein-rich diet, you,
yes,
know, all those lovely colourful plants and vegetables with the rich polyphenols, again, you know, which contribute to your skin aging. And then, you know, talking about things like microneedling, which is a way of tricking your skin into producing more collagen. So everything on a cellular level. So
yeah,
that inside out approach, which I really love.
Interesting. So let's just pick up on a couple of those points. So protein, I've talked with Dr. Gabrielle Lyon.
I love that episode. Yeah, I love what she, I love her mantra. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a total girl crush.
Yes.
And I definitely am eating more protein. In fact, I found online an unflavoured bone broth powder.
Oh, amazing.
Beef bone broth powder. And it's very high in protein. And I'm just putting it into everything.
Oh, you have to share. You have to share that, Liz.
My coffee, my tea. I will. I mean, it's I forget the name of it. I think it just says pure bone broth protein. And I think it's a New Zealand one. It's unflavoured. And it goes into everything, yogurt, smoothies, you name it. And
yeah,
it's really upping my protein. And then microneedling, this is something that I've discovered recently. And you seem to be sort of, I don't know, literally putting needles over the skin and causing micro traumas. What is that doing then to our collagen?
So it's so clever. So when we injure ourselves, so if you sustained a cut on your hand, the body floods the area with immature collagen to produce a scar. So when you're microneedling, you're producing hundreds of thousands of little microchannels throughout the skin. You do have to be careful with home microneedling, because if you go too deep, then you can cause scarring.
Right.
And there's issues. But in clinic treatments with microneedling, you're producing hundreds of thousands of little microchannels, which flood the skin with inflammatory properties to produce immature collagen, and then you're producing more collagen. So it's a way of tricking the body into kickstarting those fibroblasts, the cells that produce collagen, to produce lovely collagen and plumping you from within.
And do you do that just plain, or would you use that with a product?
So I like to use it now with these clever new little biostimulators and fantastic
like
new
exosomes.
Products like exosomes and polynucleotides. So exosomes are little chemical messengers within our body, and they can contain things like growth factors and other sort of like stem cells and properties, which again improve your skin structure, improve the collagen, increase the amount of collagen, and just overall give you that lovely sort of like healing from within. So exosomes, polynucleotides are little highly produce RNA structures within the body as well, and again they promote new collagen. So it's all about this cellular signaling that happens within the body to naturally plump up what we're losing. So I love it. You know, it's sort of like, it's not unlike, you know, so 20 years ago when Botox came onto the market and fillers, you know, it was all just about volumizing and freezing.
Yes.
But now we have all these beautiful new, the industry is so innovative for all the negatives that come with the cosmetic industry, and we talk about the Wild West in the UK. It's such an innovative industry, and there's so many things that can be positive if done in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And so with all this new biotechnology, I think it's wonderful. And also the way they can be produced is so sustainable. So in a way, it's a way of being greener as well without the greenwashing.
I love the progression too. And you're right, in the old days, it was just about to freeze and fill. You know, just have a load of Botox, freeze your face so you become expressionless, and then plump it up with some filler, and that sort of changes the way you look. You get sort of, you know, chipmunk look.
Yeah.
And now it's getting your body, it's kind of like biohacking into the way your skin works and getting it to produce more of its own stem cells or collagen or elastin fibers. And in fact, I was talking to a dermatologist not that long ago who said, you know, in the future, there will be a time when your skin needn't age.
Yeah,
but actually,
absolutely.
We can literally put it on pause. I mean, do you think that could become a reality?
I definitely think with longevity, the way we're now talking about health span, I definitely think now that we understand what we call like the 12 hallmarks of aging, and we've got senolytic skincare, which is on the horizon, which I find really exciting. So
yes.
There is so much coming, I think, down the pipeline where totally we can become ageless. And it sounds like science fiction, and probably like, you know, 5-10 years ago, we would have thought it impossible. Mm-hmm. But there's so much fascinating work and research being done on the whole hallmarks of aging and longevity and health span. And for me, I feel like what I'm trying to do really is about health span, is for women to realise that we're living so much longer than we ever were meant to, really, when you think about menopause and midlife. And now we're living, you know, beyond. There are babies born now who probably will live beyond 100. You know, we really want to live all those extra years with life and vitality than just being, and again, this is about future-proofing the NHS, without being in chronic disease, without being fragile and dependent, being as strong as possible. So that's why, like what Dr. Gabrielle Lyon was saying in terms of muscle mass and keeping our strength, you know, all those things, I think that is so important over and beyond just what we look like on the outside, is how we're aging. So yeah, the longevity, I think, is really exciting.
Fascinating. And you mentioned a key word there, which I actually explore in my book too, senolytics.
Yes.
And senolytic skincare in particular. Talk us through that, because I think that's going to be a new word perhaps for a lot of listeners.
Yeah. So when we talk about senescence, we're talking about, so our skin is our largest organ. In terms of our skin cells, they have only a certain amount of times that they can divide. When they come to the end of their life, they become what's called senescent cells or zombie cells. And the problem with this, so this really fits with the adage that you are as old as you look, because your skin really is a marker and it does influence how we age on the inside. And there's been so many studies which have shown that there was a Edinburgh Lothian study where they showed pictures of a whole cohort of people, and then people had to rank them in terms of how well they were and how old they were. And they, just on appearance alone, they were able to rank the people who were likely to become unwell, because they followed the participants up compared to the people who were healthy, just based on how they look. So your skin cells, so there is real benefit also over and above just the cosmetic look of looking after your skin.
But what's driving that? Are people staying well because their skin is well, or is their skin well because they are well? Do you see what I mean? Which is the driver?
I think there's a biofeedback. I think, for example, if you think about photo damage to the skin, that's going to age your skin cells quicker. So there's the external, but also if you're looking after yourself internally, you can then influence your skin cells as well. So I think it's kind of like a 360-degree sort of like a biofeedback of what's happening. Yes. So with senescent cells, they also then, once they reach their end of their life and they become zombie cells, they then can excrete sort of like cytokines and inflammatory markers, which then age us from the inside. So senolytics, in terms of, so there's so many out there in terms of these medications that people are experimenting with to either stop the senescence from happening or clear out the zombie cells. Yes. There's an amazing brand which is female led, which I love, which is from America, called One Skin. 8 female researchers who are all biochemists and biomolecular scientists. And so they've spent 8 years researching particular peptides and proteins, which are sort of anti-senolytic. So it's a skincare that actually can kill off your zombie cells. So I find that really exciting. So instead of just sort of like applying skincare, which doesn't really, you know, often doesn't do what it says on the tin in terms of getting to your dermis where all the activity happens, these senolytic skincare actually is reversing sun damage, reversing aging. So yeah, it's exciting, and I think there's so much more to come.
Oh, I mean, it is a fascinating time to be working in this area.
Yeah.
And I know that you're also a big believer in the power of epigenetics.
Yes.
And hacking into our sort of genetic variances. Where does that fit into beauty and skincare?
Again, lifestyle choices. So we now know that about 20 to 25% of our genes are responsible for the way we age. But beyond that, so a whopping sort of 80, 85% is down to our lifestyle choices, how we move our bodies, how we sleep, what we eat in terms of nourishing our body, things like environmental exposure, smoking, alcohol, what we apply on our skin. All these lifestyle factors actually are a massive impact on the way we age. And so when we talk about epigenetics, so in terms of our genetics, the epigenetics sit on top of the genes, and they're basically the on-off switches. So by the way we live our lives and the lifestyle choices we make, we can actually affect whether these genes get turned on or off. So it's really fascinating. So if you were to do a genetic test, a DNA test, like 24andMe or something, and it might show that you might have the propensity, just say, to have dementia or just say a cancer. But with the epigenetics, your lifestyle choices will dictate whether those things get turned on or off. So I find that fascinating and so empowering.
Very empowering, knowing
that, you know, the way we live can affect how we age. And
And that it's not just a done deal. It's not just the genes that we have. It's actually how we work with them, how we express them.
Absolutely.
You also talk about, for those who do go ahead with some sort of procedure, you talk about biomimetic aesthetics. Tell me about that.
Like I said earlier, when I think about beauty, I always think of beauty aligned with nature, and biomimetics is really just taking our inspiration from nature. So it encompasses a number of things. So firstly, in terms of proportion, so, you know, I'm not the sort of practitioner who would ever want to do, for example, like the big lips or filler, which is out of proportion with somebody's face. So I take a very holistic look at somebody's appearance and the proportion. So, you know, so for me, it's very much tied in with like looking at somebody's face holistically and really what's going to fit in with your features. So just pinpointing one area of your face and, you know, exaggerating that, just say with filler, that's not biomimetic to me. That's just not in line with nature and what was intended.
Right.
And then also in terms of, for example, you know, talking about the things like exosomes and polynucleotides and all this biotechnology, taken our cue from nature. So what's wonderful about all this biotech is that we're able to emulate what nature intended. So the way the fibroblasts are supposed to produce collagen, or the way we're supposed to nourish ourselves, we can do that now with all of these procedures that are sort of cellular based and not just about adding. So that's why I talk about biomimetics. I find it really exciting. Yeah.
So I've had hyaluronic acid injections, little sort of, micro injections, with the idea of stimulating my own skin to produce collagen and stronger skin cells.
Yeah.
Is that sort of along the lines of getting the skin to actually do the work by feeding it the right ingredients?
Totally. So all the biostimulators like Profhilo and this IL-70, is quite a few of them. I love them because again, it's about waking up the skin cells to do their job. So
fascinating. Totally. And then what's happening in the world of fillers? Because that's changed a lot, hasn't it? I mean, I think in the old days that you know, fillers were very obvious, but do you still use fillers, or have you sort of moved away from that?
What's been lovely with the world of fillers is that they have evolved. And so now you have fillers that have become almost like biostimulators themselves. So you have a combination. So one that I really enjoy using is called Harmonica, or Harmony CA. So it's a combination of hyaluronic acid filler, but with calcium apatite. So the idea is that you're biostimulating, just say, the bone structure underneath, but also having the effect of a little bit of volumizing. So you're getting the best of both worlds. I really love that, because you're not just a lot of the traditional fillers, you know, that people end up having, sort of like, you know, the pillow face or the over volumized face. With the biostimulator type fillers, it's nice because you're using that, you're doing the cellular work, but also just giving a little bit of volume lift where somebody might need it if they have a lot of hollowing, or, you know, as we do with aging, areas where you do need a little bit of volume.
Yes.
Not lift. One of my bugbears with the industry really is that, you know, this whole idea that fillers can lift. And so that's why we end up with a lot of the overfilled faces, because you're trying to basically lift structures which just can't be lifted with filler.
So is there anything that can lift? Asking for a friend, particularly looking at a saggy jaw, you know?
Yeah. I have to say, hand on heart, and people might think, obviously, as a surgeon, I would say this, there's very little out there that is actually going to properly lift. When people come to clinic and they're doing this and they're, you know, trying to lift things like their neck,
yes,
there's not much that can really equate to a surgical lift. I mean, we do have all the machines now, and I would say there's a happy halfway house with a lot of the machines out there, which are radio frequency,
do they work to lift the skin, radio frequency?
I wouldn't say they lift the skin. I would say that they can have a plumping effect, and with a combination of microneedling, they can sort of like resurface and they can sort of like start stimulation, but I wouldn't say they necessarily cause a great lift.
What about things like threads? Because these are little, I mean, literal threads, sort of surgical threads that go under the skin that seem to pull the skin upwards. Presumably they have a physical lift.
They do. I think threads need to be sort of like reclassed as a biostimulator.
Okay.
So when threads first came out, I mean, it was, some of the effects were horrendous, particularly the ones that are barbed. They have these little grips on them with the idea of hoiting the skin up and keeping it permanent. But the problem with the traditional ones is that they used to leave a lot of puckering in the skin, and there was nothing that you could do about it.
Oh,
it was so the side effects were awful.
Yeah.
But what I've seen with threads is they have a biostimulatory effect, because once you put the threads in along the channel, so the threads are based on, like, you know, the surgical material that we used to do into, you know, use with suturing, and what you get is that you get a stimulatory effect along the length of the suture that is in there. But the problem is, for the amount of expense and the effort and the pain you go into having threads done, you're not going to have the permanent lift that you have immediately, because it will relax over time. You get a biostimulatory effect, but you don't get the lift. So I always advise people that if you're going to go to the time and effort and expense of having threads, which you will then need to have redone again and again, you would, you know, think about a surgical lift. And also, threads can become problematic if you do intend on thinking about something like a facelift down the line, because they make it difficult to find that beautiful plane when you're trying to do a surgical lift.
Right. Fascinating. And what about things like peels? I mean, in the old days, people used to go off and have these peels that made their faces absolutely red raw, and they'd have to, you know, lie in a darkened room for a week. Yeah. I mean, what's been the evolution of facial peels?
So I think peels are really underutilized, and they've evolved so much. So you have beautiful peels now, which are not based on like the really strong, like the TCAs and the strong acids. You have peels now that you can do even during the summer months. And they're really good because as we age, our cell cycle really reduces, and that's why sometimes our skin can feel a little bit grey and sluggish. So traditionally, our immature keratinocytes, our skin cells, would take about 21 to 28 days to get from the bottom of your epidermis right to the top and then shed off. As we age, that really lengthens, and so, you know, things like peels can be a really good way of shedding off like winter skin or sun damage, and then starting off with your fresh layer of skin. So right. I think they're really useful, and you can get some beautiful peels now which are not sort of like stripping your like
not
paint
acid stripper. Strippers. Yeah. Yes, or paint yeah. strippers rather. I mean, talking about ingredients, what are your favourites? Do you like using things like retinols? And I mean, I'm a big fan of things like niacinamide and azelaic acid for brightening the skin, vitamin C, things like that. What are your favourites?
I suffer from rosacea myself, so azelaic acid is lovely as an ingredient. Niacinamide, all the sort of B vitamins are lovely. I err on the side of caution when it comes to retinols, because I feel like it's such a strong ingredient, yes. particularly like when you go to the prescription grade ones like tretinoin. And even though, so this is where you get the cosmetic effect and you get the skin health, and it's very different. So with retinol, you're going to get the cosmetic effect, because what it's doing is it's boosting your cell turnover really fast. So you get that lovely appearance of the glowing skin. But I think you do that, you get a short-term benefit for long-term propensity for inflammatory skin conditions and yes. weakening your skin barrier function. So I think, you know, younger people who are using really stronger strengths like tretinoins, and obviously some, yes. you know, I used retinoic acid when I was had really severe acne when I was younger, and you see the effect it has on your skin and stripping it, yes. all of it, it's beautiful sort
it's,
of oils.
It's very tempting, isn't it, because it does make the skin smooth and line
free. It does, but I feel like as an industry we're really proponents of celebrating damaged skin, so this sort of like glass skin Ooh. Appearance that people love, it's actually a sign yes. of damaged skin, because what's happening is you're stripping your skin. And so all these hyaluronic acid and the ceramides are all coming up to the surface to try and repair it. So it's actually a sign of barrier function as opposed to true skin health. Gosh. So that's where there's the cosmetic proponent, but then also the skin yes. health, which is completely different.
So would you caution against the use of any retinol product?
I think the sort of the more shop-bought ones are absolutely fine, used judiciously. So I would sort of like, I quite favour skin cycling. So using like a retinol once or twice a week is absolutely fine. I don't think you need to be
daily.
Using it daily to really sort of like strip your skin. I think, like I said, there can be an inflammatory and a barrier. You know, we talk a lot now about the barrier function of the skin. And it's interesting as an industry, because we've created this problem with barrier function, and now we have so many products which are barrier repair creams. So it's kind of like, you know, we just have to be so careful.
That's almost like medicine, isn't it? You know, you create the side effect yes. from something, and then you have to create another pill to put it right.
Yeah.
I want to finish with a question from a lovely listener, actually, Grace. She emailed to ask about face yoga. And she said, this is a term that's widely used today, but something I called facial exercises and implemented many years ago together with my skincare routine, such as the fish face pout chin exercises and forehead pullbacks. Can we really change the way our aging skin behaves in our later years by doing face yoga? Or is it all down to hydration, good skincare and diet?
That's such a good question, because I get asked this a lot in clinic. So when I put my medical and science hat on, so trying to really think about what's going on here when we're doing sort of facial exercises and yoga. So on the one hand, in terms of self-care, I think that, you know, facial massage and taking that time out for yourself, using a beautiful oil, hand on skin, it's really therapeutic. You know, in terms of self-care, I think that's a really beautiful side of it. And on the other hand, when you think about why we use neuromodulators like Botox to relax wrinkles is because of the overuse of our facial expressions and muscles. And so if you're over exercising your muscles, are you then going to be causing the problem that we're trying to fix with neuromodulators? So it's interesting. I mean, obviously massage also brings blood flow to the skin, and in terms of lymphatic drainage, when we're talking about, you know, puffiness underneath the eyes and overall sort of puffiness, facial massage can help. But I think, you know, I know people are obsessed with buccal fat now and buccal fat massage and things like that.
What is buccal fat?
So when you think about the area underneath your cheekbone, and there's a picture of Demi Moore where she was on a catwalk and she's had buccal fat surgery. So that's become famous recently due to a lot of celebrities where they remove the buccal fat. So this area within from your cheekbone to your jaw to create that really chiseled jawline. Really chiseled cheekbones. But the trouble is, when it's gone too far, it gives you a real sunken look. It's just not advised.
Oh, I don't think I'd want any fat sucked out
of my face. This is where we have fashion trends, beauty trends over actual skin health again. So, you know, so does it have long lasting effect? I don't see any sort of like, I haven't found any clinical research or anything that shows that there is a permanent effect. But in terms of self-care and blood flow and lymphatic drainage, I think, you know, knock your socks off, but it's not, it won't have the same effect as just say surgery or other treatments.
Yeah, sure. I had lunch with Trini Woodall not long ago, and she up close does have great skin, and she's similar age to me.
Yeah.
And I was asking her, we were chatting, you know, girly stuff about what we were doing for our beauty routines. And we both take the same kind of collagen, and we both take HRT, etc. And she was saying that she does quite extensive facial exercises every morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have wondered about that, because I do know people with very expressive faces who then go on to become very lined.
Yeah.
Because their faces are sort of hypermobile. So,
yeah, because that's what I wonder about. Because if you're, you know.
I worry about it.
If you're, for example, the famous lines that we sort of treat, just say with Botox, the glabella lines, or 11s as people call them, it's because of, like, my husband's always scowling and frowning. So he's got really strong 11s. And so, you know, it's that constant movement of those muscles. So if you're doing those facial expressions all the time, surely then the outer surface, because when you think about the muscles of the 20 muscles of your face, they're actually really integral to your insert into your skin, and so they're very closely intertwined. That's why we end up having like lines and wrinkles and strong expressions, strong lines within the face. So if you're over exercising them, you know, I don't think working out your muscles on your face is the same as what you're doing with your biceps or your triceps. Or
I was going to say, conversely, you could say that working them out then tones them and tightens them.
Yeah, it's like I say, I think I haven't seen any clinical research. Okay. When I try and think about, you know, the what it's doing, like I said, the self-care side of it, the you know, mindfulness and the flooding your skin with, like, you know, blood flow is great.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's certainly something for me, and a bit of facial massage and skin plumping oils and all the rest of it.
Yeah, all those things are beautiful. Yeah,
lovely. Absolutely. Lydna, really great to talk to you. Where can people contact you? I know a lot of people are going to want to follow you after listening to this conversation.
Oh, thank you. So on Instagram, it's at timetobloom.uk. So my clinic is called Time to Bloom. And I'm always happy to have DMs and messages, and happy to answer any questions.
Really kind of you. Thanks so much for your time today. Lovely to chat.
Oh, lovely chat to you too, Liz. Thank you.
Well, Lydna, a huge thanks for your time. So fascinating. And I think lots of interesting takeaway points there. I'm particularly interested in the whole area of microneedling and looking at things like exosomes and hyaluronic acid and ways that we can use these natural substances that are part of our own body's matrix to then stimulate fresh young skin cells. It seems to me the most natural approach and the most obvious way to look well and live well for longer is to actually work with the body and the body's natural process rather than sort of force inject something artificial into it. Anyway, what do you think? Let me know, as always. And do listen back to that episode I mentioned with Indian Knight, if you haven't already, by the way. It was such a fun one. We had a really good laugh. Yeah, I seem to remember being rather embarrassingly honest about my issues with nasal hair. Anyway, do take a listen. And if you would prefer to listen back to that or any other episode ad-free, you can subscribe to the Lizelle Wellbeing Show Plus. That's on Apple Podcasts for a small monthly fee. And once you're a subscriber, you also get 24-hour early access to all future episodes too. And if you want to ask any of your own questions, like Grace, do email me. The address is podcast@lizellewellbeing.com. And we will be over on Instagram carrying on this conversation too. And that's at Lizelle Wellbeing. And I'm on there as well personally at Lizelle Me. Okay, I do hope you enjoyed the listen today. Until the next time we chat, go well. Goodbye. The Lizelle Wellbeing Show is presented by me, Lizelle, and is produced by Anushka Tate for Fresh Air Production, with additional production support from Ellie Smith.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.